You know what? There's a couple of things that I want to share with you tonight. Actually, before I start with the main part of what I want to share, there's another scripture that I want to give you quickly. It comes from the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, and I'm going to read verse 8. Whoever digs a pit may fall into it, and whoever breaks through a wall will be bitten by a snake. I'm going to repeat that. Whoever digs a pit may fall into it, and whoever breaks through a wall will be bitten by a snake. All right, maybe this doesn't make much sense to you, so I'm going to give you the context and I'm going to explain to you what I believe. I think it's Solomon that wrote this, wants to say to us. We know that he was a very wise man and he had insight into difficult concepts that it made sense to him, and therefore he was trying to make it plain to us so that we could understand these things. Okay, whoever digs a pit will fall into it. How many of you know that sometimes we go out of our way to make problems for somebody else? Who of you know people like that? Okay, I won't ask who of you are people like that, because probably nobody's going to wave at me. But I want to say something to you, and I want you to listen to me very carefully. I've been around the block a couple of times, and this is my 17th year in full-time ministry, and you know what? God has taught me a lot of things. And I want you to understand something. One of the reasons why a lot of people battle and they go nowhere is because of that. Because you've been digging too many pits for other people, and you don't want other people to prosper. There's a couple of things that I have on my heart, and probably tonight I'm just going to speak from my heart. Let's talk about jealousy. You know, one of the biggest problems that we face on a daily basis is the spirit of jealousy. The spirit of jealousy is a piece of rubbish. I would like to call him something else, but I'm recording this and then people will just have a big problem with that. So I'm just going to call him a piece of rubbish. Is that okay? The spirit of jealousy is a very busy thing, because he doesn't like people going forward. How many of you know the devil doesn't like anybody to be successful? Come on, just wave at me if you know what I'm talking about. The devil hates it. The Bible says the thief came to steal and to kill and to destroy. In other words, the devil wants you to go one step forward, but then go 3, 4, 5, 10 steps back. He doesn't want you to prosper. He doesn't want you to go anywhere. Now, here's the thing. Sometimes the devil himself can't touch you. Then he has to use the people around you to touch you. And how does he use the people around you to touch you? It's easy. He puts something in their heart. It's called jealousy. And a lot of people, unfortunately, are open to jealousy. So what happens? Fernanda, yeah, gets a new shop. Let's just use you as an example. You don't mind, do you? You know, God blesses him with a new shop. So now the people in his family are like, oh, but you know what? He doesn't deserve it. You know, I work 10 times harder than him, and this is not right. Who's speaking? Jealousy. The spirit of jealousy. And let me tell you something. Now what you are busy doing is you are trying your best to dig a pit for him. But the Bible says when you dig a pit, you are the one that ultimately will fall into it. Not him. You. And you see, tonight while I'm speaking to you, I want you to sit and I want you to think about your life, because I want to guarantee you that most of you, if not all of you, are stuck in a pit somewhere, and it's a pit you dug. You blame the devil for it, you blame your mother for it, you blame your father for it, your third grade teacher, and in the end it's probably got something to do with what you had in your heart at some point in time towards other people. The best thing you can have is a humble heart that gets happy for people when God blesses them. And you know, I never cease to be amazed at how many Christians fail to get excited about another Christian's prosperity. Don't we all pray for God to prosper us? You know what? You should be happy when God prospers your neighbor or your friend or your brother or your sister, because it proves that prosperity is real. And that means that if it's come for them, it must come for you, because God is not a respecter of man. Amen? But instead of us being happy for X, Y, Z because God has blessed them, we're like, oh, but they don't deserve it. Oh, you know, I'm a much better Christian than them. Oh, I tithe 10 times more. So what? Their season is their season. You know, the Bible says there's a time to sow and there's a time to reap. Maybe they've been sowing a long time more than you. We don't always understand how. We don't always understand why. But I want to speak to you about this pit. Because I know that I know that I know that there are a lot of believers. Now, I'm not saying that you're a bad person or anything like that. I'm just telling you this is what the Bible says and you need to hear these things. The Bible says every time you try and dig a pit for somebody else, God will make a plan to kick you into it. Because who made you judge, jury, and executioner? Nobody. If judgment needs to come on somebody, you're not the one that's going to dig the pit for them. God will do that. But you see, we try and do that. We like, oh, you know what? This one is, they're going too fast. They're going too far. They're going too big. Let's just bring them back down to earth. It's not your job. And when you start digging that pit, please understand that what you're actually doing is digging it for yourself. And if you're stuck and you can't go forward, you know, yeah, we've prayed many times for the pit of despair. Because there is a pit called despair. But there's another pit that comes because we dug it for somebody else. But then God makes a plan to push you into it. Because God's not happy with that attitude. If God blesses Tony with a brand new car, don't you believe that that's a wonderful thing? Don't you believe that he deserves it? Yes, he does. You see, we can say that, yeah. But halfway home, it's like, oh, but I don't know why God didn't give me a brand new car. So, listen, yeah, just stop digging that pit. Maybe, let me show you again how jealousy works, because I think people forget. I think people forget. I need some volunteers. Or should I call you victims? No, just volunteers is okay. I need some volunteers. Tony, of course you have to come. Mr. Bean isn't here anymore. Sheesh, like, I'm telling you. Yeah, you can come in his place. Charlie Chaplin. There we go. He can give you a lift in his brand new car. I agree. All right. I've got Tony here. I've got Charlie Chaplin. Who else can I use? Albert and Fernando. Normally, Fernando is the devil, but tonight I don't. Yes, I'm going to have a devil. That's right. Fernando, you can hang around here. We're going to make use of your services. Must we get dumb and dumber as well? Point them out. I don't know where they are. All right, let's see. Okay. I want you to come and stand here for me. I want you to, yeah, you can stand here for me. You can stand here for me. I need one more. You can stand there for me. Now, here's Fernando. You are the subject. You're going to stand there. No. Fatima, you stand here. Fernando stands there. Here's what we're going to do now. I want to show you something interesting. You know, the Bible says that life is like running a race, right? We have to start somewhere and we have to keep our focus on the goal because there is something wonderful waiting for us. Amen? In other words, the Bible is trying to tell us to look forward and not look back. What happens when you look back? You go round and round in circles. Okay? But that's a sermon for another day. I'm not going to get there now. Now, here's Fernando. This represents his life. He needs to get from where he is here to somewhere over there, which is where God wants him to be. And when he walks that road, he's going to be blessed. He's going to be prosperous. He's going to go forward. He's going to have a good life. He's going to have a happy life, etc., etc. And the favor of God will be upon his life. And that's where God wants him. Do you agree with me? Okay, good. Now, here's Fernando. He's a jovial guy. He's got a really good life. He's got a nice wife. He's got beautiful children. And you know what? He's got a lot going for him. But unfortunately, Fernando is susceptible to jealousy. And I'm going to show you what happens. I'm going to show you what happens. Yes, Fatima. Fatima has just been blessed with a brand new 50-inch LED TV. So she's standing with a TV in her hands. Just hold the TV for me, please. It's bigger than that. It's bigger than that. It's this big. Yeah, there we go. Actually, she's too small. She can't handle it. She can't hold it. She's got a brand new 50-inch TV. Albert, yeah, has just been blessed with, what does Albert have? Albert has the latest, what's the latest new phone? He has an iPhone 6. He has a brand new iPhone 6. You see the cauliflower ears, he talks a lot. You know? Like he's a very busy boy. Okay. Charlie Chaplin over here, what has he been blessed with? What's nice? What's new braces. A new brain. No, man. What? Braces. Suspenders. Oh, I think his wife needs them, not him. What are you blaming? You have got, he's already got the car. He's got a boat. No, he's got a boat. Okay, a new business. Yes, he's got a new business. He's got a brand new, they're prophesying over you. You need something new. There we go. New business. Okay, he has a new business and he has a brand new car. What car have you got? A GTI. I was going to get jealous, but I'll leave it. All right. Okay, Fernando. Yes, Fernando. I want to show you something now. I need 1, 2, 3, 4. I need another 4 people. 1, 2, 3, 4. I want you to stand this side. Just stand in front of the person. No, no. Stand in front of the person that... Come, just do what he's doing. Yeah. Do what he's doing. Take a step back. I'm going to show you something now. Okay. Here's the 50-inch TV. Here's the iPhone 6. Here's the new business. Here's the new GTI.
I'm jealous already.
I'll pray for you later. Okay, now I want you to see this. Here's Fernando. Now, Fernando tends to be a bit on the jealous side. Okay? So he doesn't, you know, we're not speaking this over you. This is just for illustration purposes. Now, where must he look? In front of him. Okay, he's supposed to be looking in front of him. Now, here he walks. He hears that Fatima just got a brand new 50-inch television. He's walking his road that God wants him to. And now he gets fixated on the fact that how dare she have this TV? I mean, you know what? She's not a... She doesn't deserve it. She doesn't... you know, whatever. He's got all these things. He doesn't want her to have it. He thinks he should have it. So, in other words, he's focused on her. But here's one of God's angels. And what is this angel holding for him? Now, it's not a 50-inch TV because he doesn't need it. But what does he need?
Guidance.
Maybe he needs a bit of wisdom. Maybe he needs a bit of authority. Maybe he needs a bit of purpose. Maybe he needs... greater authority and power to get to his destiny. Here is an angel of God holding something with true value, which if he was looking forward, he could see it and he could take it. But when he's walking, he keeps looking at this person. Why? Because he's upset. Because they have something he doesn't have. Now, can I show you what's happening? Here is something that is his. But because his focus isn't where God wants it to be, he will never receive what the Bible calls true riches, something for himself. Because he's so busy focusing on what other people has that he will never ever receive something for himself. Okay, so he missed this opportunity because he got upset with her for having a new television. Then he meets up with Albert and Albert takes out this brand new iPhone 6 and he's still busy with a... There we go. He still has a Nokia 5110. It was a good phone. It was a good phone. You could use it as a weapon. I know. Yeah. George did that many times. So now, here's the thing. He's focusing on this guy that has a brand new iPhone 6. But you know what? Here was promotion just waiting for him. Here's another one of God's angels that's holding promotion, but because his focus is on the material acquisition of this individual instead of where God wants to take him, he's just missed this opportunity. So here we go again. Oh, Charlie Chaplin has a new business.
My first customer.
Yeah, he's your first customer. Yeah, is another opportunity that was waiting for him. What opportunity have you got for him? Give me something good.
Victory.
Yes, that's something wonderful. Probably there's something going on in his life. Some devil is giving him a hard time. God wants to give him victory. Instead of him getting to the place that he can receive the victory because his focus isn't where God wants it, but his focus is on other people's stuff, he's just missed the victory. So guess what? The devil's going to walk all over him for the rest of his life. And then he gets to the last place. This guy has a brand new GTI. This man can't sleep at night because this guy has a brand new GTI. It's like, what was God thinking, you know? What did you have for him?
Wealth.
Wealth. In other words, godly prosperity. Maybe a new opportunity. Maybe something new in his work or in his business or something. Right, you can all go and sit down. You can stand here with me. Please give them a big hand. Come stand here next to me. The Bible says, my people perish for lack of vision. In other words, what we don't see causes us to go down. Amen? Amen? Now, it's not just what we don't see. Sometimes it's where we look. Okay? If you are constantly looking at somebody else's life, then you are like this. Either looking that way or that way. But you're probably not looking that way. Where is your blessings? There. Your blessings are on your path, not Tony's path, not Fatima's path, not Raymond's path, not Manuel's path. Your blessings are on your path. Now, I want to tell you something. Every time you get jealous of somebody else, you are simply falling for the trick of Satan. You are allowing Satan himself to dictate where your life is going to go, and he's pushing you straight into the pit because you are simply busy digging a pit for yourself. Many won't fall into it. Fatima won't fall into it. I won't fall into it. You're going to fall into the pit that you're digging for yourself. Every time you open your mouth to speak bad things about somebody else, you're digging a pit for yourself. So I want you to think a little bit about that, and then you think to yourself, maybe that's why you're not going forward. Because maybe, just maybe, you are stuck in that pit right now. Sometimes we don't like other people. And we want to play judge, jury, and executioner. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. Judgment comes from God, not from us. And every time you put yourself in that position and you want to, you know, you want everybody to be against this one, and have you heard about what this and that, you're digging a pit for yourself. You're not digging a pit for other people. You're digging a pit for yourself because you know what? We've got that old saying that says, the wheel turns. There's going to come a time when that pit is deep enough, and then God says, right, I think that's enough. Dunk, there you go. And it's dark in that pit. It's smelly in that pit. It's scary in that pit. And you can't go anywhere in that pit. Do you know how many people come to the age of 30, 40, 50, 60? And when they look back, they got nothing to show for it. And then they want to blame this one and that one and that one. And sometimes you should just look in the mirror because there's the purpose. There's the culprit. It's what we did to other people. It's what we wished on them. It's what we spoke over them. I want to warn you about something. You can say a lot of things, but you better not say stuff about me behind my back. Because I work for God. And He doesn't take it lightly. And you know what? What you do for what you wish upon me, I'm telling you right now, I don't need that stuff. It's going to come upon you. You dig a pit for me? No, you can't. The Bible says when you are the one digging the pit, you are the one that will fall into it. You can sit down. Thank you. Now, that's the first half of that scripture. Whoever digs a pit may fall into it. Whoever breaks through a wall will be bitten by a snake. Let's talk about that. Whoever breaks through a wall will be bitten by a snake. Do you believe that God is your protector? Who in this place believes that God is their protector? Who in this place believes that God looks after us? All right, keep your hand up. You're all right. But take your hand down. But there's a condition. For you to be protected, you need to live your life within the confines of the protection that God has placed there for you. You know, walls are not just there to keep bad things out, they're also there to keep good things in. Do you understand that? Now, we all have walls that God has put around us. Let's say that one of our walls is the scriptures. Give me one of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not steal. Good. In other words, there's a wall called stealing. If you choose to steal, you break down the wall. Give me another commandment. Thou shalt not commit adultery. So if you break that, if you do that, you break that wall down. Give me another one. You must honor your mother and your father. Yes. So if you treat your mother like a piece of rubbish, what do? You break that wall down. You shall not lie. When you lie, you break that wall down. Say again. You shall not covet. Okay, covet, that actually goes very well with jealousy. You know, covetousness and jealousy, there's a very fine line between the two. When I covet what you got, I'm upset because you got it and I want it. I want it. It causes problems. Now, let's talk about that. God's protection is there for all of us. But in order for us to have that protection, we have to abide by the word of God. And if we do not abide by the word of God, we do not have that protection. Now, what happens when we break down the wall? Listen to this. Whoever digs a pit may fall into it. Whoever breaks through a wall will be bitten by a snake. What is the snake a type of? What does the snake represent? The devil. Now, people come here all the time, and I say this respectfully, but it's true. They come here all the time, oh, pastor, pray for me for this, pray for me for that. This demon is giving me a hard time. That demon is giving me a hard time. Oh, this is so unfair. No, it's not. If you keep breaking the wall down, the demon will keep giving you a hard time. How can you be protected if you are the one breaking down the wall? God is doing his part. Sometimes we're the ones that's not doing our part. Does that make sense to you? You know what? The walls are there to keep the enemy out, but also to keep us in. But sometimes we don't like the confines that God has given us. Do you understand? It's like, oh, the Bible says don't be rebellious, but I like to let my hair down every now and then and just go out and do whatever I feel like it. The Bible says obedience is better than sacrifice. Let's put the context there. Saul had just been made the king of Israel. He was the first king of Israel and he was handpicked by God. God doesn't make mistakes. But even though God doesn't make mistakes, people do. So Saul becomes king, and as king, he has to be obedient to God. Do you understand that? So now, he has to be obedient to God, and God speaks through a prophet by the name of Samuel. Samuel was the prophet that ordained Saul, that anointed him, that placed him in that position on behalf of God. And when they had this big fight with, I can't remember, let's call it the Philistines or the Amalekites or whatever it was, they had this big fight, and Samuel spoke, the Holy Spirit spoke through Samuel and said, this is what's going to happen. When you conquer these people, kill everyone and don't take any of the cattle for yourself. Saul said, fine, I understand. He was given the wall. As long as you do this, the wall of protection will be around you. Then when Samuel left, Saul thought to himself, that's stupid. Why can't I take some of the cattle for myself? He wins these people. He defeats them. Then he notices, you know what? It's one thing to say, okay, I won't take the cattle. It's another thing to see how fat the rams are. It's like, ooh, that choppy will be nice on the fire. And then you see these people, then it's like, oh, well, there's some sexy aunties hanging around there. I don't know why I should kill them. Maybe I should just, you know, I need a couple of slaves. And the king, you know what? I remember he didn't destroy the king because he thought to himself, you know what? This king has some contacts. I can use him in the future. But what did God say? God said, destroy everything. If he destroyed everything, the protection would have stayed around him because he would have been obedient. But he chose to be disobedient, therefore breaking down the walls. Now, when you break down the walls, what's going to happen? A snake will bite you. So the next moment, the prophet Samuel comes walking up. And what happens? He hears sheep and goats and cows, and he hears all sorts of stuff that he shouldn't be hearing because these things were supposed to be dead. And then he gets there and he sees that Saul is having a party, and he's got the king sitting next to him having a big party with him, the person that he was supposed to kill. He walks up to him, he says to him, listen, yeah, what's this? Wasn't I clear when I gave you instructions? Weren't you supposed to destroy all of this? Yeah, but you know what? Then I thought to myself, you know what? When God says something, it's not open to your interpretation. You do what he says. And Samuel said, because you did this, you will no longer be king. And then in 1 Samuel 15, verse 23, it says, obedience is better than sacrifice. Because then Saul came up with a story, oh, you know what, I thought I would sacrifice all these animals to God, which was a lie. He was never going to do that anyway. He wanted to keep it for himself. Obedience is what God wants. Do you know why a lot of people get bitten by snakes? Look at your neighbor and say, disobedience. Disobedience. obedience. When we don't honor God, when we do what we want instead of what He says, we break down the walls. Listen, yeah. Let's say somebody is doing witchcraft against you because it's real and it works. If you live your life within the walls that God put there, the witchcraft is probably going to have very little effect on you. But if you keep breaking down the walls yourself, then the serpents that have been assembling around now have a way to come through. So guess what? They're going to start biting you. But why are they biting you? Because you're the one breaking down the walls. Okay, here's how it works. Satan doesn't like you. He doesn't like you, he doesn't like you. But don't feel bad because he doesn't like me and he doesn't like her and he doesn't like him. Satan likes nobody. He hates everybody. John 10:10, he is called the thief and he came to steal, to kill and to destroy. Look at your neighbor and say, he wants to destroy you.
He wants to destroy
you. Yeah, but, and there's a big but. Jesus came that you might have life and that you might have life more abundantly. So you have two choices, yeah. You are either going to have the thief destroying your life, or you're going to have Jesus giving you abundant life. Which one do you want?
Jesus.
Then let me put this to you in a way that'll make sense to you. If you want Jesus and the abundant life, you got to live your life according to Jesus' way. Because if you side with the thief, all you will have is destruction. Now the devil doesn't like anybody. And the demons in the Bible are often referred to as serpents and scorpions. So when the Bible says if you break through a wall, a snake will bite you, it's a way of saying that there are demons waiting for an opportunity to get to you. And if you give them the opportunity, don't think they will leave you alone. Did you hear what I just said? If you give them the opportunity. Do you know what I find interesting? Very few people will ever take responsibility for the problems that they're in. They are very quick to tell you how many other people caused their problems. But the Bible says we are the ones that break down the wall, not other people. You know, it was my girlfriend that left me. It was my brother-in-law that stole 500,000 rand from me. It was this one that did this. It was my mother that never gave me love. It was my father that rejected me. You know, you can blame a lot of things, but I want to tell you something. If right now you are being bitten by a bunch of serpents, the Bible says you broke down the wall. Now, before we can deal with the demons that's giving you a hard time, we better rebuild the wall, because if the wall isn't there, we're going to kill them off, throw them away, but the opening is still there, and Satan will keep sending them and sending them and sending them. Maybe now you understand why some people don't, even though we pray for them 100 times, nothing changes. Because I can't rebuild your wall, you have to rebuild your wall. And you only rebuild your wall with what is called obedience to God. I want you to listen to me carefully. God doesn't have time for disobedience. And every time we are disobedient, we are breaking down the wall of protection. Your disobedience will come and bite you in the arse. There's no better way to say it. Well, it is a snake, isn't it? It does bite, doesn't it? Yeah, and they normally come from behind. In your case, you don't have to worry. They won't come up behind you, I promise you. It's a private joke, don't worry. Yeah. You know, in some countries, you are actually registered as chemical warfare. I'm only joking. I'm only joking. Anyway, moving right along. Listen to this. Whoever digs a pit may fall into it. Whoever breaks through a wall may be bitten by a snake. I want to speak to you today about the things that we have done, all of us, that without us realizing, we were actually just digging a pit for ourselves. Listen to me carefully. Sometimes when you're in a pit, you're the cause of that pit. Nobody else. And sometimes when you've got a bunch of demons giving you a hard time, listen, yeah, it's their job to give everybody a hard time, but not everybody breaks down the walls to allow them in. But disobedience does. And the more we are disobedient and the more we do things that we are not supposed to do. If you play around with witchcraft, you open a door. If you play around with bitterness and unforgiveness, you open a door. If you play around with Ouija boards and try and summon spirits, you open a door. If you hang around with fortune tellers, you open a door. Let's talk about another one. I just said if you play around with witchcraft. Now, what is witchcraft? Okay. For most of you, if I say the word witchcraft, you get visions of some witch doctor with funny skins all over the place, throwing bones and killing chickens and spreading blood and doing funny stuff. And you're not wrong. That is part of witchcraft. But the essence of witchcraft is to control another person. That's all it is. Do you understand? Okay, you go to the witch doctor and he kills a chicken, he catches the blood, he puts some funny stuff in there, he paints it all over you, he makes you drink it and he makes you bath in it. That's witchcraft, right? But you're trying to achieve something. What are you trying to achieve? You want more money from your boss. You want that guy to leave his wife so that you can have the wife. Hello? You want your mother-in-law to develop some piles so that she doesn't come and visit. Hello? If you did that, please repent. All right? Wasn't a good thing. But do you understand what I'm saying? You are trying to use supernatural means to control situations more often than not other people. Now, does witchcraft have to have muti and witch doctors and gypsies and spiritists? No. Witchcraft works just as well with your personality and your mouth. If you like to use your personality to control other people, you are practicing witchcraft. If you like to manipulate people, you are practicing witchcraft. If you do that, you are breaking down walls, which is calling things to come and bite you. Hello? Now, okay, I know you don't like it when I talk to you about this stuff, but I don't have a choice. I have to. Because this might be why you're not going somewhere. This might be why you're battling. God does not have time for manipulation. The more people manipulate you, the more you need to get away from them because they are using witchcraft on you. And if you are the person that likes to manipulate other people to get your way, then I want to tell you something. Number one, you're digging a pit for yourself. And number two, you're breaking down walls. Whichever way you look at it, you're not going to have a good life. You're going to suffer. You're going to have big problems coming your way. Because I want to say to you again, the wheel turns. And what you do today will come back to you tomorrow. And when it comes back, it's always bigger and stronger and more powerful. What you do against me, it's just going to come back for you. Because I want to say something else to you. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, chapter 26, verse 2, as a bird by wandering, as a sparrow by fluttering, so a curse without a cause shall not come to light. If you try and put witchcraft on me, and I haven't done anything to give it place, the Bible says like that bird going down and then swooping back up, so the witchcraft will not sit on me or on this one or on that one or on anybody else, but come back to you. Yeah, that's right. Uh-oh. Do you know many years ago I was involved with people that came out of Satanism? I did that for a couple of years in my life, and it was a very interesting time for me. I learned a lot. I learned a lot about demons, about witchcraft, about sorcery, about spells, about casting spells. You know, I learned about all of these things. My son Matthew was sitting there. Twice they came to fetch him, to sacrifice him to the devil. Not once God allowed it to happen by the grace of God. But I want to say something to you. Witchcraft is real, whether you like it or not. But these people came and they did witchcraft. Many times I would wake up in the morning and then my front yard would have animals sacrificed there, blood all over the place. The one day my whole wall was painted with blood. I had satanic signs and slogans all over my car. I had things nailed to my wall with satanic hieroglyphs, whatever you want to call it, satanic language, saying that this and this and this curse is being placed upon me. But can I tell you something? I slept well at night.
Amen.
God never stopped supplying my needs.
Amen.
And I want to say something else to you. More than once, I had to pray for the same little schmucky that came and did that because it came back and I couldn't cope with it. Oh, yes. Amen. Yeah. Yeah.
Brian, I had someone many years ago with a frog.
I remember.
Saw the frog's mouth with my name and my husband's name.
Come stand here quick, otherwise it's not going to go on there. Speak into this.
Many years ago, we had a couple that used to be our friend, and for some reason, these people, they were jealous of us. I don't know. And one day, I find out this frog on my garden with the mouth was all stitched. Yeah. And then things, they went bad for a long time, and that time I was going through deliverance with Rian. And one day, out of the blue, we prayed about something in my life, and then Rian asked me a question. Auntie, do you know anything about frogs? Is there anything about frogs that happened in your life lately? And I thought, frogs? And then I remember, it was a night that my husband, and that people that were there, they came to my house to visit us that night and says, oh, you got a frog there. And my husband, he took the frog and he threw it outside of the street, on the street. And 2 minutes later, the frog was back in the same place. Then that people, they did witchcraft to kill our business, jealousy, you know. And then we prayed about that. And I was very angry and I was very disappointed because I was always good to them. I consider them my friends and this is what they do against me. I send it back. I say, you know what they wish on me? Ren says, you know what, let's pray, let's cut this off. But I say, Lord, I did nothing to these people and I don't deserve this curse. Whatever they wish on me, I send it back. Be honest in my heart, I never wish them bad, but yes, I send the curse back. These people now, they don't even... I don't know even what happened to them. They lost their job, they lost their house, the kids, they abandoned them. And you know what? They live in a pit right now. This is what happened when people, they think they can dig a pit for you. They couldn't dig a pit for me.
Amen. I want to say to you that God does take care of his own. That doesn't mean that nothing will ever touch us. Let's be honest, we live in the real world, yeah. There's a lot of evil around, and sometimes things touch here, sometimes things touch there. But God says, I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. God says that no matter what comes against you, he will always back you. God says, even if you fall once, he will pick you up seven times. So, listen to me. If somebody wants to be mean to you, they do so at their own peril. Somebody wants to wish things upon you, they do so at their own peril. The Bible says all they're really busy doing is digging a pit for themselves. And like this couple that she was talking about, you know what? They can't blame her for where they are right now. They are stuck in the pit that they dug for themselves. And the only way for them to get out of that pit is to come before God, humble themselves, confess what they have done, repent of what they have done, and change. Now that brings me to, you know what? Tonight, I'm going to do things a little bit different. I'm not going to speak for long because it's the end of the year. And I think that it's time for things to go a bit different. But what I want to say to you is this. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Do you know what it is that brings a lot of problems into our lives? It's called disobedience. And I'm not even going to ask you to raise your hands. Everybody in this place has been disobedient to God many times. And we didn't realize when we were disobedient how disastrous the consequences sometimes are. Because when we are disobedient, when we are deliberately disobedient to God, we break down the wall. And sometimes we think we're breaking down the walls to give us a bit more space. No, you're just allowing more serpents to come in. And they've got only one purpose, to destroy your life. If you have a lot of serpents in your life right now, probably a lot of walls have broken down in your life. Then tonight is a good night for you to start rebuilding those walls. God is faithful and just. If you come to him and you're truly sorry and you're truly repentant, he will help you and he will rebuild that wall for you tonight. But you've got to come and deal with your disobedience. And listen to me carefully. If you've tried to bring a lot of evil into other people's lives, then I want you to spitz your ears. You need to come before God and sort out stuff because you are in the pit right now. The pit you dug for other people. Tonight, I don't want you to tell me, oh, but this one and that one and that one. Tonight is about you. Tonight, you're dealing with what you brought into your own life. And I want to tell you, you did bring stuff into your life because it's human nature. We did it. But we don't have to be stuck in the pit. We don't have to keep getting bitten by the same serpents and scorpions. We can do something about it. We come before God, we humble ourselves, we repent, and we choose to change, and God will restore us. Amen?
Amen.
Did God speak to somebody?
Yes.
Well, bless God. Amen. Give the Lord a big hand, please.